us right now, Lord. Amen. Don't wait till next year, Lord. You can show up right now. I need thee right now. Well, giving all praises to God, to Dr. Janice Bryant in her absence, to deacons, trustees, to the male chorus this morning. Amen. Who has sung us into the presence of God. We do thank God for this Sunday because it's the last one. Amen. The Lord has brought us a mighty long way. I was just sitting there thinking about this time last year. Ebenezer, you didn't have a pastor. And I didn't have a church, so it was on the same plane. But look what God has done. Amen. For that, I am truly grateful, because I can testify that if it had not been for the Lord who was on our side, where would we be? For this month of December, we've been doing a series of sermons from the Gospel of Matthew chapter 2, verses 1 through 12, our reading for today. The first Sunday, we talked about a star in the east, how the wise men or the magi followed a star in the east to find the place where the birth of the Christ child. And so I said that Ebenezer can be a star in the east, Austin, that guides and leads people to Jesus Christ. Be a star in the east. But we can't face this life naive. There are such a group of people called Herod the Grinch. These are people who have a wrong view of themselves. They have a wrong view of the Christ child, and therefore they have bad intentions. They have bad plans. Don't be Herod the Grinch. Don't be one who's always putting out the joy of others, always you mad because somebody else happy. Amen. Herod the Grinch. And then on last Sunday, we touched on the touchy subject of giving. The Magi brought their treasures. They brought their gifts to the Lord. And when we come to worship, we have to be prepared to give of ourselves. If you want the best from God, you got to be willing. You got to be open to give from yourself. We talked about how the wise men gave of their time. This was not a 10 to 10:30 venture. They didn't wake up at 10 o'clock and say, let's go find the Christ child at Ebenezer this morning. No, it was a 3-year trip that they had to make in order to find the Christ child. They had to stay focused in their time and their efforts and giving of their time. Not only did they give up their time, they gave up their treasures. They used what they learned about the stars in order to find the Christ child. They had some diplomacy. They had some negotiations they had to make. They had to use their talents, all to get to the Christ child. Like you and I, we have to use what God has given us to get to worship him and to praise his name. And then finally, they brought treasures. They brought gold, frankincense, and myrrh. We talked about the practical uses of those things, especially for Joseph and Mary with this new baby. They're out of town. Now they got to go into Egypt. He going to need some cash. It's good to have gold in your pocket. when you're on the run, when you're fleeing from your hometown. You never know who you're going to have to bribe. You never know what place you may have to buy to get in and stay. Frankincense and myrrh to help with the aches and the pains of your body. Real practical, because you can't take it with you. Amen. You're going to give it to the Lord or to the world, but you're going to give it up. We give, oh, we said they gave their treasures, so we have to bring our treasures to worship with the Lord. This Sunday, we want to finish this series of sermons from Matthew chapter 2, verse 1 to 12, and talk about another way. There is, brothers and sisters, another way. Let us read Matthew chapter 2. Verses 1 through 12, by the inspiration of God and by the pen of Matthew, these words are recorded. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, Magi came from the east, came to Jerusalem, and asked, "Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him." When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed and all Jerusalem with him. When he had gathered together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Messiah was to be born. "In Bethlehem in Judea," they replied, "for this is what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For out of you will come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel." Then Herod called Magi secretly, found out when exactly the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search carefully for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me, so that I too may go and worship him." Never trust the person that want to worship too. They ought to want to worship. As after they had heard the king, they went on their way, and the star they had seen when it rose went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshiped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route. We read into your hearing Matthew 2, verses 1 through 12. We ask that there be a blessing to the reading and hearing of God's word. Another way. Life is filled with swift transitions. Life can change on a dime. You could be going through life as happy as you can be and minding your business and following every traffic light, every concern you're watching in every mirror. Got your music low, your car is running fine, but there's somebody else that had a bad day. They've been fussing and fighting all day, been cussing and lying, then they've been drinking, and they just decide to run through a red light and could change your life. There are events in life that one can categorize as life-changing experiences. That a person is not the same after they have had this experience. Part of the mission here at Ebenezer is to develop Christ-like persons through life-changing experiences. It's simple. It means to build, to grow, to develop people to be Christians. And the way to do it is by using life-changing experiences. That's the tool of the church in order to create people that will follow Christ or be Christ-like people, the tool that the church has is life-changing experiences. This experience of the Magi coming to find the Christ child, upon finding him, we're told that they received in a dream a warning not to return back to Herod. They received in a dream to go return to their country and to return by another way. Their encounter, their experience with the Christ child can be classified as a life-changing experience. Now, they're not alone in this. There are plenty of life-changing experience in the scripture. I mean, surely it was a life-changing experience for Abram when he was called to leave out of his country. I'm sure it was a life-changing experience for Isaac when his father didn't sacrifice him on that altar. I'm sure that when Moses ran across that bush that was ablaze but not burning, that was a life-changing experience. We could throw in Paul on the road to Damascus. We could throw in John the Baptist. We could throw in Peter and Paul. Maybe I could throw in you and I. We have all have had experiences that could be classified as life-changing. That we are not the same after as we was before. Here in this text, we see the Magi being changed, a life-changing experience. And brothers and sisters, this morning, I believe if we can reverse engineer this passage, we can reconstruct it for our own application. We could use this pericope as a prototype of how to use life-changing experiences in order to develop Christ-like persons. I believe by looking at this prototype, by looking at this passage, we can learn from them how in 2026, 2025, 2026, how we can use life-changing experiences to make Christ-like persons. Listen, first, they come in and they bow and they worship. Everything up to now, I'm sure, is what they had planned to do. What we're going to do when we find the house, we're going to go in. And we're going to present our gifts. They have thought about everything, I'm sure. They thought to be kind to the parents. They thought to be humble and respectful to the parents. Get to know the parents a bit before they go in and look at the child. I mean, you just walking in on stranger. No stranger going to see my baby. I don't know how with the rules all around your baby, but my rule around my house is you ain't seeing my baby for the first 4 or 5 days. I mean, you just ain't nobody just walking up on my child. But they were able to get to the house, get in with Mary, bow down and worship him and present him their gifts. And after we're told that they've been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they return to their country by another route. Yes, brothers and sisters, I believe they can help us find a new way. They came one way and was told to return another way. So what way did they come? They came through Jerusalem. Remember, they went to Herod in Jerusalem, and Herod went and called the chief priests and the teachers of the law, and they brought scriptures all to bear. They went through all of that. And now they're here in a dream. Don't go back the same way. After a life-changing experience, there ought to be a change in direction. You shouldn't go the same way. You should not leave the same way you came in. You should leave in another way. They got new, fresh revelation. They got new direction. They had a brand new mission. For 3 years, their mission was to find the child. Their mission was to follow the star. Their mission was to find the house and worship him. Now that they have found him, mission accomplished. Now they need a new mission. And they'll receive fresh direction. New direction to go another way. They came because they followed the star. They came because they followed the instruction from Herod. When Herod told them Bethlehem, they went. That's what the scripture said, was in Bethlehem of Judea. They went according to scripture, but they wouldn't go home the same way. They would be going home another way. They wouldn't be going home by following the star. In fact, the star disappeared. They have to go home another route. Don't go back through Herod. Don't go back through man's authority. Don't go back through man's priorities. Don't go back where man has the power. Go another way. And brothers and sisters, when we encounter Christ, we ought to leave here another way. We shouldn't come the same way we came. I know we might have got here mad, but you should leave here happy. You might have left a fight, but when you go back, make peace. You ought to go back another way. What was the difference? Their encounter with the Christ child. Once they encountered the Christ child, they no longer needed the guidance of the star. They no longer needed the guidance of Herod. They no longer needed the guidance of scripture. They had now a connection with the divine himself. And they receive in a dream instructions warning to go another way. Brothers and sisters, I want you to know that you don't have to live the same way. You can live another way. Isn't that the option that the church is offering? That in Christ there is another way. Whatever you were before you got here, there is another way. Not only did they have another direction, but it also was a change in perception. They saw the world differently. Remember, they thought Herod was their friend. But now they're being warned in a dream not to go back to Herod. Now they see the world differently. After their encounter with the Christ child, their vision is now changed. You don't see the world the same way that you saw it before. You see the world and it's not your home. You realize that I didn't come here to stay. You realize that I can't put all my stock on this side of the Jordan. I can't put all my treasures on this side. I can't put all of my labors, all of my toils, all of my efforts, all of my time, all of my treasures on this side, because this side is not my home. I'm on my way home. My home over in glory. They saw the world differently. They saw the Christ child as a political figure. That's why they went to Jerusalem. That's why they went to Herod. They saw him as the next king that will sit on the throne. What they did not plan to encounter was the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. They didn't plan on encounter the Word of God made flesh. They encountered Jesus. And you can't encounter Jesus and walk away with the same mindset. He will change your mind. You know, so many people, and we live in a time of a lot of mental problems, a lot of mental situations. And I know it sounds flippant. They, you know, when the preacher say, try Jesus, you know, people say the problems are deeper, problems are bigger, the problems are harder. It's not just a simple answer to try Jesus. And brothers and sisters, I just can't come up with a better answer. It may be a simple answer, but it's the best answer. Turn it over to the Lord and let him work it out. There's just some things you won't be able to figure out. There's just some things that are too much for us, that we have to trust him, that we have to try it his way. Not only did they get a change in direction, they had a change in perception. They saw the world differently. They saw the Messiah. They saw the Christ child. They had an experience, a life-changing experience that changed their minds. So that's the experience. The encounter with the Lord changed their direction. The encounter with the Lord changed their perception. But my question for you and I this morning is, what role did Joseph and Mary play in the changing, the life-changing experience of the Magi? How can you and I, as brothers and sisters, as members of the body of Christ, what role do we play in this life-changing experience? I believe the answer is in Mary and Joseph. It's not in their speech. They didn't have the right words. They didn't give the right speech. It is in their actions. What did Joseph and Mary do? They simply presented the Christ child. You missed that. All they did was keep pointing to Christ child. Where is this child that's born to be king? There he is. Where is the one we follow this star from the east? There he is. They pointed to Jesus Christ. And brothers and sisters, that's all the church do. We just keep pointing to Jesus Christ. You want a medical answer, go to the hospital. You want a legal answer, go to the courthouse. But if you want a Christ-centered answer, you got to come to the church. It's Christ that we present. It's Christ that makes the life changing experience. When we look at Paul on the road to Damascus, he said, Lord, Lord, who art thou? And he said, I am Christ whom you persecute. It is our encounter with Christ. And when we live as Christ, when we walk as Christ, if we talk as Christ, as we represent Christ in this world, people will have life changing experiences. I'll testify, since I'm the only one in the pulpit this morning. I remember I had a friend, a co-worker, in fact. I think I shared this story with you before. But she wasn't going to nobody church. And I wasn't trying to evangelize. I was just there to get in my aid and get paid and get bounced. You know, I wasn't trying to recruit nobody. I wasn't trying to evangelize. But every Monday, I would always talk about how great Sunday was. So every time she asked me how was your weekend, I would talk about how good Sunday was. I really enjoyed Sunday, Sunday service, Sunday dinner. We had a great time Sunday. And then all of a sudden, one day she said, you know, I started going back to church. I said, that's good, that's good, that's good. And she said, I'm going to an online church, a web-page church. Now, this is back in the 90s. This is not, I'm not talking about 4 or 5 years ago with Zoom and all this now. I'm talking about back in the 90s, first website churches. And she said she was going there, she's logging in, and they download the message. She can read the message and all this. I said, that's good. You know, from nothing to something, that's great. I ain't hating on you if you're going to your web-based church. I'm not hating on you. And then it started getting in my craw. It started feeling some kind of way about it. I said, well, what happens if you don't log in? Will anybody check in on you? What happens if you miss a couple of times? Will anybody come by to see about you? Anybody know your number to call on you? If you got sick and went to the hospital, who will come and visit you? From online, your online church. And I don't know, maybe she thought about it. But I like to think and take credit that she had a life-changing experience because of that conversation. And she decided to start going to church. A regular church, became a member of a church, got active in some ministry they had there, became vibrant, wonderful, became wonderful story. All because she encountered Christ. It was nothing magical I did, of course. It wasn't the right words. I can't even tell you the speech I gave. All I presented was Christ. When we just present Christ, then he will have a life-changing encounter experience with them, and you cannot go away from Christ the same way you came to him. That's why we can sing that song, I know I've been changed. I don't know about you. I can't speak for everybody else, but I can speak for myself. I know I've been changed. I know I've been changed. I know the angels in heaven done signed my name. I know I've been blood bought. I know I've been baptized. I know I have accepted Jesus Christ as my personal Lord and Savior, and I can testify this morning it has changed my life. When we encounter Christ, it changes our lives, and we can leave different than the way we came. We can return different than the way we came. We can take another way. We can take an alternate route. We can take a different path. If you came in feeling alone, hopefully you leave here feeling unified. If you came here tired, hopefully you leave here feeling rested and feel like going on just a little bit further. If you came in weak, I hope you leave here feeling strong. If you came here confused, I hope you found some clarity. Change. If you came here to worship, I hope you leave here to serve. If you came here hopeless, I hope you leave here hopeful. If you came here down, I hope you leave here up. There ought to be a change. Now, I do make a slight thing here. There are life-changing experiences, and then there are life-encouraging experiences. They're a little different in that after you become a believer, you have more life-encouraging experiences than you had before you became a believer. Before you became a believer, you're just out there on your own. I don't know what you're doing. You're just living life wild, as far as I know. But once you come to Jesus, that's a life-changing. You turn from your wicked ways. You come on the Lord's side. But then as you go forward in life, he will still give you what I call life-encouraging experiences, where you keep going forward, you don't change direction, you don't change your mind. What he simply does is cheer you on the route that you're on. Once you have chosen Christ as your Lord and Savior, he just encourages you to stay on that path. But as you're on that path, you're going to be encountering people coming from all directions, from the left, from the right, from front, from the back, from all different directions. And when they encounter Christ, they ought to leave another way. Let me close with the Gospel of John, chapter 14. You remember in the upper room, Jesus comforts his disciples. He says to them, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me." And this is not just a funeral passage. This is for encourage them and comfort them for the challenges that lay ahead of them. "My Father's house has many mansions. If it was not so, I would have told you that I go and prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to where, to be with me, that you also may be where I am. You know the way to the place where I am going." And we, like Thomas, said to him, "Lord, we don't know where you are going, so how can we know the way?" Here's the way. Jesus answered, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." Jesus is the way. We can go another way with Jesus. You don't have to live the world's way. You don't have to live the outsider way, the sinner's way. You can live the way of Christ. Your life can be different. There is another way. May God bless you and may God keep you this morning. At this time, we want to extend the invitation. There may be someone here today who want to choose and accept Jesus as a personal Lord and Savior. We invite you to come now. And if you have a church home and it's far, far away, We offer watch care. We will watch over your soul. Treat you like a member. Will you come? As the deacons come and the greeters come, they're here to escort you, help you, walk with you. We invite you to Ebenezer, a place to belong. Will you come? Will you come?
We offer prayers to you, oh my sister. He will give you bread and life abundantly. Oh,
come on, come on. Yours to accept. It is our prayer that the Lord will bless us.